Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
But we're going to talk through some issues today because there's new research and there's new light on the issue of pornography. You might like to be part of our conversation. 1-800-316-316 to join our conversation. But let's welcome our special guest for this coming hour, Jack Sonneman. Hello, Jack. Welcome back to 2020.
Bless you, Neil. Thank you for having me.
Well, Jack, you're only just back, and therefore the conference is very, very current, and the sorts of research that were delivered through various speakers, one speaker that is quite well known to so many of our listeners would be Josh McDowell, who's been an author on a whole lot of topics and apologetics for a long, long time. He's launched a new book, and you have a copy of it.
Neil, I have the very first autographed copy by Josh McDowell of this book, and it's called The Porn Phenomenon. I was totally and completely shocked by what this book and his data revealed.
Okay. And I guess he did a presentation at the conference all about his book, and you were there lining up. I guess you were at the front of the line if you've got the first one autographed.
I've got the first one. Listen, we had the department heads of major American universities. We had scholars who have set up and run programs at the UN and at Harvard and the Department of Defense and Homeland Security. We had sex slavery experts and human trafficking experts. We had the director of communications from the House of Representatives of U.S. White House. We had law enforcement professionals, award-winning secular and Christian journalists and authors, people like Josh McDowell. We had feminist icons like Gail Dines and Laura Lederer. We had the world's top neurosurgeon, Dr. Don Hilton. Neil, he pointed out to us that pornography is biologically addictive, that it is changing our culture significantly, that it is a major public health hazard, that it's creating what's known as a supranormal stimulus. In other words, it puts into people's minds the desire to the desire for the plastic instead of the real. It's shocking what is going on. And he pointed out that our children's brain receptors are more open to the pleasure sense and that the pornographers are targeting our most vulnerable, the children, and they're targeting their 9 to 11-year-old sites where they can have pop-ups and things coming in so they will be more in tune to walking down that pathway. In fact, he said and pointed out to us at this conference that looking at porn changes the shape of your brain, just like lifting weights changes the shape of your muscles. Shocking stuff.
Jack, one of the important things, I guess, you've been to this international conference. It is a global issue. It's everywhere that the internet is. Pornography, a huge player when it comes to online content. Yes. And I want to ask you, and we'll get our conversation underway, with a very important and turn the blowtorch on ourselves type question. And that, of course, is to do with Christians and pornography, because Christians and people in churches, church leaders, are not immune to the scourge of pornography. What was being discussed at the conference by way of churches and their succumbing to this sort of seductive pornography issue?
What an excellent question, Neil. In his book, The Porn Phenomenon, in the preface, Josh McDowell says, about 6 years ago, I began to sense something was seriously wrong. Whatever it was negatively affecting the receptivity of young people to the gospel. He said, I consulted key pastors and Christian leaders. Chuck Swindoll encouraged this research and told me he believes, listen to this, pornography is the greatest cancer in the church today. Dr. James Dobson, these are quotes from his preface. Dr. James Dobson was also very supportive, but warned me there would be resistance because of church leaders. We have a problem with pornography in the church today. He says, Josh McDowell says, pornography is the greatest encumbrance to the gospel in the world today. Pornography is. He says, pornography will be mainstream in the church in 3 to 4 years. He says, every single pastor and Bible student at a recent Christian conference, and there were thousands, every one of them raised their hand admitting to a problem with internet porn. He says the church will self-destruct if it does not address the porn problem. He says there is no greater social problem in the world today than pornography. In the church, his research has just found out, documented in this book, The Porn Phenomenon, listen to this, 47% of 36 to 60-year-olds actively seek out porn. He says 65% of 25 to 39-year-olds actively seek out porn, and shockingly, 81% of 13 to 24-year-olds actively seek out porn. What also shocked me, Neil, was the fact that Josh McDowell in The Porn Phenomenon documents that 56% of 18 to 24-year-old Christian women actively seek out porn. When Dr. James Dobson asked Margaret and I many years ago to distribute his shocking interview with serial sex killer Ted Bundy, where Ted Bundy documents the role pornography played in his life and led him down the pathway that included murder and molestation of little girls, Dr. Dobson told me at the time, remember, this is over 20 years ago, and by the way, he also had me set up meetings with religious and political and business leaders in each of our capital cities to establish Focus on the Family in Australia. He told me then, this is a long time ago, quote, most Christian men have problems with pornography, end quote. We do have a problem with it in the church, and the church needs to address the problem. In fact, listen to this. He asked me, Josh McDowell asked me, because he found out that I had five little granddaughters under seven. And by the way, while I was away, my daughter Christina had her sixth daughter.
Congratulations.
So I now have six little granddaughters under seven. And he said to me, who are your granddaughters going to marry? Are they going to marry a porn-addicted church elder, a porn-addicted Sunday school teacher, or a porn-addicted deacon? It's their choice.
And before we go another step further, Jack, I know your heart, and I've known you for a long time, because there's an idea that when you start to talk about pornography in a Christian context, that all of a sudden someone's coming out with a big stick to beat you around the ears, to raise all of those issues of shame and of guilt. And I know that that's not your heart, because as we raise this issue today, it's about effective solutions and what you do to actually change the way that a society actually responds to this issue of pornography. Let me just ask you to reflect on your heartbeat for a moment, because it's not about a big stick, it's about solutions so that a generation that follows the current one will not have to deal with the challenges that this one is actually trying to cope with at the moment.
Neil, you're exactly right. We have to love the next generation enough to implement biblical Christian principles today. We haven't done that. We're looking to the experts for the solutions. The experts don't have them. God has the solution. We have to, no matter what the leaders say, no matter what the church officials say, we have to embrace only issues that will usher in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. We need to show our little children a future filled with hope instead of the increasingly deadly perversions of the pornographers. We have allowed the culture to sexualize our little children, and we need to take our culture back. The only way we can do that, because as this conference pointed out, the enemy is too big, the numbers are too massive, the money is too immense. The problem, if we try to face it in the natural and fight it in the natural, we're going to lose. We have to lift our vision up into the heavenlies. Even as C.S. Lewis said, we reach for the heavens, we get the earth thrown in. We reach for the earth and we get neither. That's why we have to reject a lot of the feminist-based solutions and accept biblical-based solutions. And I'm not really too sure how to counsel people out of these addictions. I'm not sure how to direct them in a path that will lead to righteousness. What I am is kind of like a street fighter. I know how to protect children. And I know that as we embrace godly principles, we will see godly results. As we embrace ungodly principles, socialist principles, or other ungodly principles, we will then see ungodly results. I don't want to see anything ungodly, and I don't want to retire. I'm going to continue in this battle until I die.
Let's continue to reflect on some things that you've said, because I can't let these things go by without enlarging a little. One of the things that you said was that pornography is the greatest encumbrance to the gospel in the world today, and it's not only those who might be the preachers of the gospel affected by this sort of guilt and shame and, you know, I can't be a representative of God if I've got these issues that are holding me back, but also for those who would be the recipients of the gospel, also struggling with these issues of knowing that that's surely not something that God would accept.
You're right, Neil. It is a common problem in the church, and sometimes that allows Christian men who are struggling with the problem to be more conducive to seeking help. They're not alone. Their pastor would not have heard anything that they're not going to tell them. It's something they need to realize is a common problem in the church, and they can get help for it. Not only can they get help for it, they can get free from it. Don Francisco, a very prominent contemporary Christian singer, when he performed some of his greatest work, he says he was deeply consumed by an addiction to pornography. And he's now freed from it and talks about it, but others can be free from it, and they can talk about it, and they can let other men know that real men don't use pornography, and they can become a real man by trying to clean up their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. Looking at porn does have consequences, and a lot of times we look upon it as a victimless crime, when in fact, as Dr. Don Hilton points, by the way, look him up, Donald Hilton, one of the top neurosurgeons in the world. Remember, it changes the shape of your brain just like lifting weights changes the shape of your muscles. They've even done impact on bystander intervention studies that show porn users will not intervene in a sexual assault. In fact, today they'll take out their mobile phone and they will film it instead of intervene. But not only that, we cannot, as Christian men, bring justice into our society until we realize that pornography users will always trivialize rape, and none of the women who are raped and go to a trial will ever get justice from an Australian jury if porn is used amongst the jury members, because studies have shown that data proves porn users, men and women, by the way, hand down half the rape sentence of others. Massive exposure to porn, according to the data, according to the scientists, according to the research, is 4 hours and 48 minutes total over 6 weeks. In fact, a university research project comparing heavy, medium, and light viewers of porn had to be canceled because they could find no one in the light viewer of porn category. If we want to see justice back in our society, we have to clean up our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Pornography is nothing more than prostitution for mass consumption. And as I explained, like Dr. Don Hilton pointed out, it produces what is known as a supra-normal stimulus, which means it programs its users to prefer the plastic to the real. And I can even give you examples of young Christian women marrying Christian men in their church, and the men are too interested in making love to their hand to make love to their beautiful wives, and it's destroyed their marriages. This is happening all over Australia, and is even happening, as I know it is, in Queensland and in Brisbane there also.
Now, let's not miss the opportunity, Jack, to talk about solutions, because it's all very well to say how bad the problem is, but there have to be some solutions that are being suggested, that are being implemented in some nations around the world. Hit us with we'll enlarge on these as we go through our conversation, but hit us with some of the solutions that are being talked about.
Great, Neil. We heard that, this is very encouraging, we have been pushing this for years, ever since we defeated the dial-a-porn industry in Australia. We heard in the UK today, listen to this, you buy a smartphone and you can access porn. You cannot access porn. You buy a computer with internet capabilities and you cannot access porn unless you apply, unless you opt in. In fact, in Iceland, we had some of the cabinet ministers from foreign governments come share this stuff. In Iceland, if you want to access porn on the internet, and if you have children, you have to give a 2-paragraph description on how you are going to protect children from accessing that imagery. So there are, now this is the UK and this is Iceland. Don't tell me it can't be done. These are not third world countries. These are not communist dictatorships. These are not Islamic theocracies. These are first world countries. In Iceland, you can't access porn unless you opt in. We are asking everyone who listens to this broadcast, send a little email to Malcolm Turnbull and ask him if he'll please do the same. This is not banning anything. It's not burning anything. It's not banishing anything. It's just saying, if you want internet porn, you have to apply for it. Do you think that's a good idea, Neil?
I think the opt-in method of trying to control this industry seems to be a bright light in a very dark room. So I'd encourage listeners to be in touch with Malcolm Turnbull and your local MP. And we'll continue to talk some more. There are some other solutions too that I know you've been talking about and exposed to in this conference that you've just attended. Jack Sonneman is our guest. We are talking about pornography this hour. Your opportunity to contribute to our conversation this hour, 1-800-316-316. What are your thoughts on the viability of some of the solutions suggested? You might have your own thoughts on the challenge Jack has so dramatically outlined, just how big the problem is. You might have your own contribution to make. 1-800-316-316.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision Christian Radio.
Jack Sonneman, our guest this hour. Jack is the founder of the Australian Federation for the Family, a 40-year campaigner. Just against all of these dreadful issues, pornography we're talking about, and if you've listened into that first part of our conversation today, you'll know that it's a bigger problem than most people will give that idea to. But Jack, the size of the problem could make you feel as though it's an overwhelming thing that could never be resolved. What are your thoughts, optimistically, about the potential for actually making some sort of a change?
Neil, had we not accomplished the impossible in Australia in the past, I would have given up hope. When we bring Jesus into our culture in a way that is culturally acceptable, we see our culture change. And we've done that. We've done that with federal legislation, with local legislation, with state legislation. We have changed our culture. Now, we had a lady, Nancy Jo Sales, who is one of the premier award-winning journalists and authors in the world. She was a contributing editor, by the way, to Vanity Fair, a secular author. She just launched her book at this conference called American Girls, the Impact of Social Media on Our Girls Today, and she shocked everybody. She shocked everybody. She says, we are in an unprecedented moment in human history with massive amounts of sexual activity amongst our children due to social media. She went across the U.S. and she interviewed girls, 9, 11, 12, 14-year-old girls in shopping malls, in community centers, in schools, in groups all across the U.S. And she says, they say, the girls say, that social media is destroying our lives. But they also admit that they are obsessed with it and consumed by it. She says that likes today are social currency, and this has produced a new and extremely dangerous type of childhood. The American Psychological Association, back in 2007, the report entitled The Sexualization of Girls, remember this is a long time ago, 10 years ago, The Sexualization of Girls, you need to look it up. She says, Nancy Jo Sales said, you cannot protect your children enough today. In fact, when she signed her book for me, for my daughter Christina, I said that I had 5 granddaughters and I have 6. She stopped in the middle of her signing, looked up from the book table, looked me in the eye and said, do not let them have a smartphone. That is one solution, Neil. She emphatically added, do not let them around any children with a smartphone. She says we are not winning the war with porn and children as long as we allow them to have smartphones. How's that for a solution, Neil? It's going to take some radical solutions to combat the radical problems that our children are just simply not equipped to cope with?
Well, radical is a word, a strong word, but one that is going to be necessary for parents and for grandparents who have some say over the influence in the way that their grandchildren are being raised. But parents taking that radical step of actually saying no to a smartphone. We are taking calls, 1-800-316-316, if you'd like to contribute to our conversation. Let's take a call from Emmanuel in Perth in WA. Hello, Emmanuel. Welcome along to 2020.
Hello, Neil. Hello.
Great to hear from you, Emmanuel. What are your thoughts?
Thank you. Yes, I've struggled with pornography, and I tell you what, it breaks you, and it's breaking Christian families apart. It's ripping. It's pretty much like a drug. I can testify for that. And the more we speak about it in Christian circles, and we get the pastors educated as well to deal with it, because I feel there's not enough people out there to counsel. The more we can do with that, I tell you what, we're going to go a long way to winning the war.
Emmanuel, thanks so much for your transparency and talking about that. Let's hear a response from Jack.
Emmanuel, you're quite right. It is a problem among Christian men. And, you know, we have to look at how we're protecting our children. We have laws to protect our children from other addictions like gambling, like alcohol, like tobacco, and other addictions. Why have we left the doorway to the addictive behavior of pornography wide open? We need to close that door. We need to implement godly provisions so our children can grow up in a porn-free culture. It is possible only if we lift up into the heavens. We cannot do this in the natural. The enemy is too big. That's why we have to reject a lot of the worldly and the feminist ideology provisions and solutions and accept Christian solutions, because you're very right. It is a problem today. It is an addictive problem, and our children need to be better protected from that addiction.
Emmanuel, while we've got you on the phone, and I did say thank you so much for your transparency and talking about your own challenges there, I'm assuming that you're a part of a local church. Is that the case?
Yes, that's right. And I've been talking with other men as well about my issue, and it doesn't surprise me how many out there struggle with it.
Well, Emmanuel.
Excellent. That's the key, opening up and talking about it, bringing it out into the open, bringing it out into the light. The devil likes us to keep it inside of us and hide it and keep it in the dark where he can nurture it and feed it. We bring it out into the light, and Jesus can deal with it.
Emmanuel from Perth in WA, thanks so much for your input today here on 2020. Our talkback line open on 1-800-316-316. Let's take a call from Les in New South Wales. Hello, Les. Welcome along. Well, we've lost Les. Les, you might like to call us 1-800-316-316. Our talkback line open. Jack Sonneman from the Australian Federation for the Family is our guest. It's children here that are the focus. When we discuss children and the vulnerabilities of a coming generation, we've got to actually put our own insecurities, our own problems aside, and we've got to actually take some action here, Jack. Action is the word, isn't it?
Action is the word, Neil. And you know, when you look at it, when children act out what they see in porn, which they do, I mean, we have 10-year-olds raping 8-year-olds as a common occurrence today. Talk to the Child Exploitation Unit of the police department, as I do. I give lectures to the Officers in Charge Conference in Victoria and get letters back praising me for my work in this area. Children are taught from birth to imitate adult behavior. They don't know it's wrong. They don't think what they're doing is wrong. Unfortunately, they may kill the partner that they're doing it on, but they don't know what's wrong at the time. And it's not their fault. It is our fault that we've allowed the culture to become so sexualized and deviant. And it is up to the people of God to establish the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And our children will be better protected if we take steps toward doing that.
The conference, how many people were at the conference you just got back from, Jack?
500 or 600, and like I said, we were we even had Elizabeth Smart. You may remember the poor little girl that was abducted in Utah about a year ago, made the new international headlines. She was rescued, or a man snuck into her house and abducted her, showed her porn. He and his wife showed her porn and abused her and used her for months until she finally was able to get free. But she gave a little presentation to this conference delivered by her father that talked about the role pornography played not only in her destruction but in the man's life that abducted her. Pornography deals a hand that is perverted, is demented, it is subjugating women, it is objectifying sex, it is demeaning humanity.
Jack, and I'm going to have to cut in because we're about to go to news. Just to encourage listeners, 1-800-316-316. We'll take some more calls after the news. Jack Sonneman from the Australian Federation for the Family, our guest, back with more shortly. You were talking to the author of a new book, and when we talk about Josh McDowell, a well-known name when it comes to Christian apologetics, his new book talks about the impact of pornography and also a focus on solutions.
That's correct, Neil. I was very privileged to spend some time talking with him about some of the things that are going on in Australia here today. And it's kind of anathema to a lot of people that it's like in Australia, like a John Cleese skit, "Don't Mention the War." Here in Australia, it's kind of like, "Don't Mention the Porn." In fact, we have a national white ribbon campaign to protest against domestic violence. But porn is never mentioned, when in fact it's called a RAP campaign, and the RAP campaign means White Ribbon Against Pornography. The domestic violence spokesman, Commissioner Mark Murdoch for the New South Wales Police, says pornography is the greatest cause for the increase in domestic violence in Australia. He says pornography is turning our young boys into rapists, yet you look back at the RAP campaigns and you see Christian leaders standing with others talking about the white ribbon against domestic violence, when in fact, pornography is never mentioned. It's so bad in Queensland that the legislators can't even recognize that children should be protected from the imagery in Penthouse magazine. It is not in a restricted category. This was shocking to all the people at the conference in Texas. Every thinking human knows children should be protected from Penthouse magazine, yet in Queensland that magazine is legally accessible by children. That is wrong. The way to correct what is wrong is not by ignoring it, but by doing what is right. We think people should let their legislators know that Penthouse and other porn magazines should be in an R category, a restricted category, not an unrestricted category. So that is another solution people can take about the pornography that's engulfing their culture.
Jack, you mentioned in the earlier part of our conversation today that you were talking to feminists while you're in the US. Now, were these feminists Christian feminists, or were they coming from a secular base? Feminists saying?
Yes, Neil. It's interesting. Feminist icons like Dr. Gail Dines. I had a great time with Dr. Dines. I had a great time with Dr. Laura Lederer. These are two feminist icons. Now, Gail Dines was just here for the Sydney Writers' Festival. And she said, as have others, how shocked she was by the men who control the media in Australia. They're like a bunch of children, she said. Now, Dr. Judith Reisman, who's a close friend of mine, and your listeners would know I've had her in Australia on a number of occasions with magnificent success each time, she is an icon to these feminists. And she being a close friend of mine, we were able to have a close rapport. And they were telling me, when they come here to Australia, they're shocked at the control that is exerted over the media by ungodly people. They're shocked by the fact that we only get told certain little tidbits of things, and the things that we do get told are all wrong anyway. But they look upon the media here in Australia as a laughingstock.
Okay, and so far as this international view of Australia, you've begun to pick up on something here which I think listeners might be interested in, because the conference that you're just back from was in the United States. You've got feminists there in the United States attending the conference who are reflecting on those editors of media in Australia, and what other views did you glean about what people at an international conference parents like that were thinking about Australia? When you said, I'm Jack Sonneman, I'm from Australia, what were they saying about the Australian context?
Yes, yes. Well, the first thing they said is, how come you don't sound Australian? Because I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, but I've been here for, 35 years now. And we came from outside the culture, and we recognized that you shouldn't display smut to children, shouldn't use children in smut, and all kinds of things that were going on commonly. And by the way, most all of the groups that were active in Australia all told me that we can't change the things that we have changed. So, like I said at the conference, don't tell me it can't be done. Go tell someone else. But yes, Debut Australia, I mean, we have in Australia, most people don't know this and it's not in the tourist brochures, but our women are raped more than in any other industrialized country. Where records are kept, Australia leads the world, not only in sexual assault, but also in violent assault. Now, this is known by people who work in these circles, and they're curious as to why nothing is done about the pornography that so permeates our culture. We have had to bypass the national guidelines on magazines like Penthouse, and we've had to work with the state legislators to overrule the inadequate guidelines that refuses to restrict such magazines and put them in a restricted category through the state legislators. Sadly, the state legislators in Queensland can't realize that children should be protected from unrestricted access to Penthouse. And this is a shocking fact to people who know the damage caused by such abnormalities, by such absurdities. Now, whether children ever purchase a Penthouse magazine or not is not the issue. It should not be accessible to them in the family marketplace. It is normalizing sexual deviancy to our children, just having it there. And children should, it's either a yes or no question. Should children be protected from the grossly pornographic imagery in Penthouse magazine? And if so, why aren't they protected?
We'll continue and talk some more about this, but I want to take a little break and take some calls here. Let's hear from Jacqueline in Brisbane. Hello, Jacqueline. Welcome along to 2020.
Hi, thank you.
Jacqueline, what are your thoughts?
Yes. I've actually noticed probably for some time that actually because men, associate love with sex, and it's become skewed, even especially in like music, that seems to be a major medium, and there's so much desensitization from, you know, across the board, across the community, and it's where secularism is actually winning against Christian morals, because if you are a Christian and then you have a stance and a limitation, it gets diffused every time you switch on the television, every time you listen to conversation through the media, and then it becomes common workplace discussions, and it's very, very difficult to avoid. You almost have to live underground, basically. That's what I've noticed. It takes a lot of effort.
Yeah. Your thoughts, Jack Sonneman?
Protecting our children, yes, indeed, does take more and more effort than we'd ever thought possible. And having come from this conference, I thought I knew a bit about what is going on, but I knew nothing until I attended this and saw reality. What goes into you becomes a part of you. What are your children looking at? What are they listening to? Who are they associating with, even in the, quote, Christian, unquote, schools? This is what we have to look at. We need to open a dialogue with our children. We need to become free and open with our children. We need to recognize that what is common today was abnormal yesterday. What's it going to be like tomorrow? As Josh McDowell said, who are our granddaughters going to marry? We need to do a better job of protecting them from the perversions that are so normal, that are invading our homes via the television, through the radio, through every possible way they have sexualized our little girls.
Thank you so much to Jacqueline from Brisbane. We'll continue to take calls. Our talkback line open on 1-800-316-316. But before we go another step forward here, Jack, there are biblical standards and, you know, just a saying that was made by the Apostle Paul, and I can't give you a chapter and verse right now, but where he talks about the church and says, let there not even be a hint of sexual immorality among you.
Correct.
This idea of let there not be a hint, well, here we are in the 21st century in a Western modern nation like Australia, and this sexualization is everywhere. Very hard for anyone to be able to say there's not a hint of sexual immorality, but that is the biblical standard, isn't it?
Neil, that is a biblical standard. Now, listen, we even have secular experts. In fact, Dr. Rena Isaac, at this conference, who's the medical director of the Texas Children's Hospital Forensic Nurse Program, who's a Homeland Security Advisor on human trafficking, one of the top experts in the world, secular authority, she said she has two daughters, one 3 years old and one 1 year old. She said when she found out she was having girls, she cried. These people who are working in this area can see down the track, and they can see what's open for them. And another thing that shocked people at this conference was that we have legal prostitution in Australia. It is not good for our daughters to work as prostitutes. It is bad. In fact, Rhode Island, the last state in America that did away with legal prostitution, they outlawed it, saying the only way to protect the women is to ban the industry, end quote. That's what we need to do in Australia, is ban the industry if we're concerned about how it's brutalizing our women. Sadly, a lot of the radical feminist ideology today behind the current push for the so-called Nordic model on prostitution comes from their man-hating feminist perspective, not a biblical perspective. I even got the feminist experts on the prostitution breakout session at this conference to admit that the current laws in the U.S., if they were upheld, would see no prostitution, the current laws. Yet they are lobbying for the Nordic model in the U.S. Now, why they think that legislators would uphold the Nordic model when they don't uphold the existing model is beyond comprehension to me. We don't need to allow laws that allow our daughters, like the Nordic model does, to work as prostitutes. In fact, the head of the vice squad for the Houston Police Department was among the police contingent at this conference, and he was in the prostitution breakout session. And he had to stand up and say, wait a minute, America is not a socialist country. We need to be looking to not the government, but to these faith-based groups. In fact, he pointed out that in Louisiana, when a prostitute is arrested, they're not taken to jail. They're taken to any number of faith-based, church-run programs, and they're giving help. They're giving counseling. They're giving food. They're giving what they need to live. The government is not equipped to deal with the problem, and we can't expect the government to play God in our culture. If we love women trapped in the prostitution trade, we will ban the industry, we will ban all aspects of the industry, we will be militant defenders of biblical morality. Christians with a biblical Christian worldview will vigorously withstand all aspects of the prostitution trade. Sadly, the Nordic model is simply a Nordic model. It is not a biblical model. And a lot of the people that are embracing it and looking upon it as a god are people that have a lot of this man-hating feminist ideology as their background.
Jack Sonneman is our guest from the Australian Federation for the Family. We're taking calls on 1-800-316-316. Let's hear from John in Coburg in Victoria. Hello, John.
Hello, Neil. How are you?
I'm well, John. What are your thoughts on what we're discussing today?
I think Jack's doing an amazing job, and I really, bow, down to what he's doing. But I also think it's also contributing to pornography and all those contributing to all the gay stuff, because I think the porn breeds that type of behaviour also. I think it's also interlinked. So I think we're going to have an increase of homosexuality because it's all perversion. And so they're all linked, and it's like a triangle. They kind of feed off each other. So and I think the idea of at this moment to protect our kids completely is impossible. I don't think we're going to ever be able to do that at this moment because you know, unfortunately, in the schools, they've got to have internet, and their kids have got internet, and wherever they go, they're literally bombarded by it. So it's not a matter of whether they're going to see it, it's a matter of how often they're going to see it.
That's when and how. Yes.
Yep. Your response, Jack?
Yes, isn't that shocking? Isn't it? And that's one of the things Dr. Rena Isaac was pointing out. From her very knowledgeable perspective, that she says we need to talk about online activity at young ages with our children. We need to discourage their sharing of personal information. We need to discuss the dangers of talking about sex. She says we need to filter, block, and monitor. And these are the points that were hammered home by everybody at this conference. In fact, every one of the presenters, every one of them, laid the blame on pornography. It was mentioned by each of the numerous international experts as a foundation for all aspects of the sexual exploitation industry. And I am very proud to say that I have been fighting against pornography my entire ministry life here in Australia for over 30 years, and we've had internationally recognized successes. Now, because we're speaking from a biblical Christian worldview and not a Nordic worldview, we sometimes get shunned because all the experts say we need to do this. Well, no, the experts speak from the Word of God. The Word of God is what overcomes all the things that are bad, not the Word of Norway. And even with conferences like this in Sydney, I was able to point this out from a perspective to where we need to bring God into the picture because he's the only one big enough to persevere. And I had people come up to me all throughout the conference, sit next to me and say, even the chief guy for the vice squad of the Houston Police Department, the director for the vice squad, who is a committed Christian, said, what you said needs to be said. In fact, South African television filmed this conference, and the guy from the television station came to me and said, what you said needs to be said. I'm going to air what you said all over Africa. We need to hear that about prostitution. We need to hear that about pornography. We need to hear that about the internet. We need to hear about how we can play. What you said needs to be said. So I was encouraged by fellow participants at this conference that we need to bring Jesus into our culture in practical ways. And that's what we have been doing with the Australian Federation for the Family from a biblical Christian worldview for many years.
Visions 2020 with Neil Johnson, a biblical perspective on life, culture, and current events.
Jack Sonneman from the Australian Federation for the Family is our guest. Let's draw some loose ends together. In fact, before we do, let's just take one more call. Let's hear from Don in Blackburn in Victoria. Hello, Don. Welcome along.
Thank you. Yes. I just wanted to ask Jack a question. Does he think that pornography and a whole host of other sexual deviancies are a shift in sexual orientation?
Jack, your thoughts?
I don't know what you mean by shift in sexual orientation.
Well, from the normal heterosexual...
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, abnormal wholeheartedly in every aspect of the word, yes.
Yes. So in many ways it's not so very different from pedophilia?
Correct.
Or homosexuality?
Correct.
Yes, this is what I suspected.
Once you do away with a godly standard, any other standard will do, and these other standards will be accepted once you do away with the godly standard. But what you're saying is right.
Yes, thank you, Jack. I just wanted to see what your thought was on that.
Don from Blackburn in Victoria, thank you so much for your insight today here on 2020. We have to come to draw some loose ends together. Let me come back to what we started talking about early on, solutions, Jack, and the idea that it's not a big stick when you come to talk about what the problem is, because you've articulated the problem so well today. You've got a number of current campaigns that are going that you want people who are listening to our conversation today to actually take action and support. Just in a nutshell, what are those campaigns? What are the solutions you're talking about?
Thank you, Neil. Quickly, in Queensland, everyone can write to their MP and ask them to please put Penthouse Magazine in a restricted category. Right now it's unrestricted and children have access to it. If you don't mind that with children, then don't do anything. We're also asking the federal government. By the way, you can go to www.ausfamily.org and click on lobbying and email everybody, state and federal. But we're asking the federal government asking Malcolm Turnbull, the Minister for Communications, to initiate opt-in legislation if you want an ISP to send you internet porn. Don't let them say it can't be done. It can be done. We've already done that to defeat the dial-up porn industry. We can do that to defeat the internet porn industry as well. Another campaign, we're asking the federal government, since it rules the territories, to put the same restrictions on X-rated DVDs in the territories that already exist in each of our states. It is illegal to sell, hire, or display an X-rated DVD in any state in Australia. They're only available in the territories. Does that make sense to anyone listening to this broadcast? We want the same restraints put on X-rated porn in the territories that already exist in all of our states. It should be a national restriction, and all we want are the same restrictions that already exist in every state, so it's not an outlandish proposal. We want the government, number four, to outlaw all forms of prostitution in any and all aspect, not just the men who visit brothels. We want all forms of prostitution outlawed, and if we're looking at a biblical perspective, if we love homosexuals enough, we will counsel them out of their sin. We will not give them a place to register their sin, which in my opinion is a foolish and idiotic program that some are pushing to set up a homosexual sex registry by the government. I tried to explain that to people at this conference, and they simply could not understand it. We do not need to set up a place for homosexuals to register their sin. We need to, as Christians, love them enough to counsel them out of it, not encourage them in it. So these are some things we can do from a biblical perspective, recognizing that we're not going to win the war with one battle, but we can fight the battles and win enough to we will win the war. This is not an all-in, one-off situation. We just have to keep on persevering until we establish the standards that we want. And those are simply four or five of the little campaigns that we have going on right now.
And just to draw attention to the website, your website, the Australian Federation for the Family, ausfamily.org, that's ausfamily.org, and you said that there is the facility there by which people can use to make contact with federal politicians and state politicians, and if you were taking some note of some of those current campaigns, no doubt there's some ways that you've got you can help to school and to tutor those who are going to take some action. Perhaps those listening to us today who might never have taken action before, but what you've heard today might just get you across the line to actually do something. It's always good getting your insights, Jack Sonneman. Just to reinforce that website, for those listeners that want to pursue some of these issues today, ausfamily.org, ausfamily.org. Jack Sonneman, great getting your insights as always, and thank you so much for taking time to talk to us today on 2020.
Bless you, Neil.
Before you go, thanks for listening. There's lots more great audio on demand, or you can listen to us live at visionradio.org.au. And remember, Vision is listener supported. Your donation, large or small, will help us continue connecting faith to life for hundreds of thousands of people across Australia and around the world. Learn more or donate today at visionradio.org.au.